If you ever dreamed about running away to join the circus but didn't do it, don't worry. It's not too late. In fact, you don't even have to run away. You can learn circus skills right here in Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Felicia Coe is an aerial artist known as the Iowa Fly Girl. Laura Ernst is a circus performer, and together they founded the Iowa Circus Academy in Des Moines. But they're not the only people practicing and teaching circus arts in the state. I'll also talk with Joyous Vario Fisher, an aerial trickster who owns Elevate Vertical Fitness in Cedar Rapids, and an acro yoga instructor, Tiffany Thomas of Des Moines. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. And today we are all going to run away to join the circus. And we don't have to go very far. There is a growing community of circus artists in Iowa and maybe even a class near you. My first guests today are the founders of the Iowa Circus Academy, which is a new entity in Des Moines offering classes in the circus arts for children and adults. Felicia Coe is here. She's an aerial artist known as the Iowa Fly Girl. Hello, Felicia.
Good morning, Charity.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And Laura Ernst is also here. She is a circus performer, one of the co-founders of the Iowa Circus Academy. Hello, Laura.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here today.
Of course.
And Felicia, let's start with a little bit of background on you. We talked about this over a year ago when you started the Aerial Expo in Des Moines. But tell me a little bit, first of all, what is an aerial artist? What do you do when you perform?
In the most layman terms, I hang from the sky on either a piece of fabric or a steel bar or hoop.
All right. And how did you get started doing that? Because there wasn't a circus academy near you when
there
you started
wasn't.
That. How did that work for you?
I lived in Salt Lake City at the time. I was 24 years old and stumbled into a class that offered circus arts totally on a whim, had no expectations, no idea where it would take me, and absolutely fell in love after my first class and continued to train there when I lived there. Moved back to Iowa, and we just didn't have a community yet. There was no classes. Nobody was teaching. It just didn't exist. Then the want was there. People came out of the woodworks once we started, but initially it wasn't there. So I started building my program and started teaching.
What was it about this experience that got you hooked the first time you did it?
It was just so much fun. Being upside down as an adult is a very unique feeling, especially if you're not used to it. I've never had any sort of dance or gymnastics experience, so I really just felt like a kid playing on a playground. I had so much fun, and the thing that made me come back was the next day my body was completely sore in ways I didn't even know existed. I used muscles I didn't know I had. I just had no idea I was working out as hard as I was because it was so much fun.
I can imagine that there's a very steep learning curve. Was that frustrating for you when you started?
It was hard. Like I said, I'd never had any dance or gymnastics. None of this actually comes easy to me or is second nature. I'm quite clumsy on the ground. So to find out that I'm kind of graceful in the air was a unique thing to find out. But I've always been surrounded by very supportive teachers and classmates and coaches. And so it never got that frustrating. It was always just too much fun to be frustrated about.
And Laura, let's talk about your journey to the Iowa Circus Academy. Now, you grew up in Dubuque, right?
I did.
And when did you first become interested in circus arts?
Well, in junior high, I was in a play and everybody had to learn how to juggle for the very first song in the play. And I was really determined. I was like, yes, I'm going to learn how to juggle the scarves and the balls. I'm going to learn how to juggle the clubs. Nobody else is doing this. This is really hard. And I made my own clubs out of like 2 liter bottles and a stick, basically. And it came down to the play and I dropped every single night. I was still kind of awful. But after that, I was still determined to learn how to juggle and get better, so I kept at it. And then by the time I graduated from college, then I went and I did this international competition called the World Juggling Federation. I won first place in my division. I was like, oh, I am pretty good. Maybe I could do this professionally.
So you were just juggling for fun. Mm-hmm. What made you think you could do it as a job?
The fact that it was fun and it seemed so much better than I did actually go to college, and I got a normal degree and a normal job with my degree. And I was like, well, let's go try and go on the road and live out of my car and juggle for a living and see how that takes me. And it took me here, and it's wonderful.
And how, when you first started that, how did it work? I mean, is there a lot of demand for jugglers all over the place?
Actually, you'd be surprised. Like, if you know your market and know where you're going with it, you can find a place to do things. And I've added, I'm one of these people that, like, I've got to try new things and I've got to do, I got to be moving. Some of the juggling tricks got to the point where the new juggling trick takes years to master to be able to put it on stage. And I'm like, okay, I need more instant gratification. Let's try some hula hoops. Okay, and then, we'll do some aerial. Oh, and then we'll do a cereal wheel. And, oh, this is really cool. I can do a hamster ball, and I can juggle in there, and that's cool. So I added all these things to my show, and it made it so unique that it's more in high demand because I'm not just a juggler. I do a whole variety show now.
And what's a... You said cereal wheel?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a giant metal hula hoop that I stand inside of and spin like a coin. It is my new favorite prop. And the first month I felt drunk while practicing it because I was always dizzy and nauseous. Because I'm spinning for hours on end. And then after about a month, the tolerance gets there and now I don't get dizzy anymore.
Now, I know... With the Iowa Circus Academy and Felicia, with the teaching that you've been doing, you've been offering these kinds of classes as fitness classes. I mean, Laura, kind of connect the dots for me here, because mm-hmm. obviously you have to be extremely fit to do what you do. But when you offer classes in the circus arts, is this a fitness thing? Is this just an adventure thing? Is this trying to master eye-hand coordination? What's the goal?
It's everything. So some people, like, I actually asked my students on the first day of their class, like, what did you come into class to get out of it? And a lot of them are like, I wanted to try something different and do fitness, and it will certainly do that. And I hear a lot of people say things like, oh, I'm just not strong enough to do that, or, you know, maybe I'll work out a little bit. And then I have people that work out and still come in and are like, wow, I'm really sore, because some of the only ways to get these muscles is to do aerial. And you will develop those muscles and you will improve if you keep coming to class. We have some students that come in, can't hold their weight on their hands, but they keep trying. And I'm so proud of them when they get things. It's really awesome. But you'll also get your hand-eye coordination. You'll get sort of a body awareness of where body parts are and how to move in space. It's all over good, mind and body.
Well, and Felicia, you talked about going into that first aerial class without any experience, without being a dancer, without being or having done gymnastics as a child. Gosh, that sounds a little scary.
Oh, it was.
So do you find that people come to you who have a similar lack of experience and
most
are
of
still
them
willing
do.
To try it?
Yeah, most of our students actually don't come in with any sort of background or experience. A lot of them don't even have any sort of regimen of dance or workout that they do now. This is it. It's just something that's interesting to them, and they want to try it out. And they hear from other friends who come in. A lot of our clients are, you know, word of mouth, and they see their friends on Instagram or Facebook who are also not dancers or not athletic people, and they're doing this, and they're doing it successfully, and they're having a ton of fun, and they're getting stronger, and they have this new outlet to express themselves. And they go, oh, well, if she can do it, I can do it. And our students are all very, very supportive of each other. It's really an amazing community. So mm-hmm. everyone rallies around each other and lifts each other up.
Give me an idea, both of you, of the kind of variety of classes that you're offering.
Between Laura and I, we offer over a dozen different classes a week. We have flexibility classes, some that are really geared just towards fitness. Of course, multiple types of aerial apparatus that we specialize in. Laura does a lot with object manipulation.
Juggling and things like that. A lot of kids programs.
Yeah, acrobalancing, acrobatics, all that type of thing.
And you're doing an after-school program in various school districts as well?
Yeah, definitely.
What's that like?
Oh, those are really fun. Kids are just, they're willing to try anything. And what I love about circus arts in general is it's kind of a nice equalizer. Both boys and girls are equally good at circus arts. You can be disabled. If you're deaf, if you're blind, you can still do circus arts. Like hula hooping, you don't have to see it. You just have to feel it. So we've got several in after-school programs starting. There's one, the next one's in Johnston on Saturdays, starting January 23rd. And then we've got in Ankeny, they start on Mondays for February 8th. And in Urbandale, it's going to have like circus days. So there'll be one from 1 to 3 on a Saturday for February 6th, March 5th, and April 9th. And you can see all that on the Iowa Circus Academy website.
Do you find that kids catch on to this stuff faster than grown-ups?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. The wonderful thing about kids for aerial is that like their muscle to body weight ratio is just superb, so they can climb up to that rope like nothing. But sometimes especially for like the juggling and things that you really need to like focus on for a really long period of time, the adults will get that better. But it's really good for the kids because then it does kind of give them that, oh, if I focus and if I try, and it gives them that tenacity to keep trying. And it's a great way to boost their self-confidence too, because oh man, when their eyes light up and they're like, Miss Laura, I got that trick, come watch.
Now, both of you are performers. You're both also teaching now. What's the balance between performing and teaching?
There is no balance. It's all circus all the time.
So give me an idea of some of the performances that you do.
We perform all around town. Sometimes we get to perform together, which is pretty rare. A lot of times we perform on our own. Anywhere from local charity events, fundraisers, galas, weddings, school events, things like that. Laura, I know, does a lot more.
I do a lot of like festivals during, you know, like county and bigger festivals everywhere. And I travel a lot. I've done cruise ships, colleges, corporate events, all manner of different things. It's basically whoever hires us, that's where we go.
Yep.
And are you finding that your circus circle in Des Moines is expanding? Are you finding more people coming in to instruct, or is it more students, more performers?
All of the above.
Yep. It's grown a ton in the last couple of years.
We love that.
Yeah. It started off very small, and through us teaching, you know, our students have grown into performers, and some of them are teaching now as well.
All right. Well, we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Felicia Coe. She is an aerial artist known as the Iowa Fly Girl, and Laura Ernst, who is a circus performer, juggling and all kinds of other tricks. And they are together the founders of the Iowa Circus Academy in Des Moines, where they're offering classes in the circus arts for children and for adults. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. We'll bring another aerial trickster into the conversation as well. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about the circus arts in Iowa. Felicia Coe and Laura Ernst are the co-founders of the Iowa Circus Academy. Felicia Coe is an aerial artist known as the Iowa Fly Girl. Laura Ernst is a circus performer who does many, many different things, including aerial and juggling and acrobatics and stuff like that. And if you are interested in this kind of thing and have questions, give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And this isn't all happening in Des Moines. Joyce Vario Fisher is here with me now. She's an aerial trickster, and she owns Elevate Vertical Fitness in Cedar Rapids and teaches aerial there. Hello, Joyce.
Hello, Charity. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here today. And I made Laura and Felicia give me their whole backstory. So you grew up in Cedar Rapids, and you were a fitness model for a while, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what was your path to aerial? You didn't start there, right?
No, I started out just regular workouts, personal trainers, gyms, and then I found it was getting very repetitive, and the workouts were, my body was getting used to the workouts, and they weren't having the effect I'd like. So I was trying to change it up and find something a little bit different, and I took a class in Des Moines, and I absolutely loved it. So I decided from there I was going to pursue aerial arts.
Now, you started with a pole class, right?
Yes.
Before moving on to aerial arts. And pole classes were all the rage for a while, although you had to travel to Des Moines to find one, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what is the connection between pole and aerial?
I classify it as the same thing. There's a couple different types of pole that you can do. You can do pole fitness, you can do pole dance, and you can do Chinese pole, which is basically a two-story tall silicone pole that you can flip on and do different tricks. I really, really like the pole tricks, so the Chinese pole. And the one in Des Moines was spinning pole, so it was more of a pole fitness class.
Now, as you were doing those fitness classes, did you find that they were maintaining the kind of muscle that you were able to build through all the lifting that you'd been doing?
Yes, and it grew different muscles, too, especially in the core and the hip flexors. You notice a drastic change in the strength of your shoulders and your arms within a couple of weeks of starting up pole fitness.
Now, how did you make the leap between pole and aerial? When did that happen?
I was completing my training for pole fitness, and I decided I wanted to try Chinese pole. So I went to Chicago Circus Academy, and they were offering silks as well. So I decided I was going to try them. And after the first two lessons, I absolutely fell in love with it. There's so many more things you can do on the silks just because you can wrap them around your body. You can climb, you can hold, you can lock, you can do different things. And they're so beautiful to watch, just the flow of the fabric. So I decided I was going to get certified in silks as well. And while I was there, I also found lira, which is basically a big metal hula hoop that hangs from the ceiling. So all of those put together, I just fell in love with them.
Now, with you, I mean, if you had to travel to Chicago to get your first experience with these things, where did you continue that experience?
There's a couple different places in Des Moines and Minneapolis that you can do. I haven't found any place closer that offers the same type. I know the National Dance Academy in Coralville offers silks, and I've been there a couple times, and I absolutely loved the instructor there.
All right. And what was it about the silks? And these, of course, are the fabric loops that hang from the ceiling, and you can do all your tricks on there. Or not loops. They're separate.
Yeah, okay. Double-stranded.
So, right. Okay. So what was it about that experience that got you hooked?
I love being off the ground, and I love being upside down. I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie, so I love roller coasters and all those rides that kind of drop you off of things. And just being up two stories and being able to drop yourself about 10 feet and then catch yourself at the bottom, there's something exhilarating about that I love. Plus, most of the drops will spin you as you go, so you can either spin sideways or spin end over end depending on the drop. And as long as you're sure of the lock at the end, it's really fun to do.
And I mentioned earlier with Felicia, the learning curve. How do you become sure of the lock at the end? That sounds pretty dangerous to me.
Normally what they do is they go over the wraps for about an hour, hour and a half. That's when you wrap the silks around your body and your legs. They make sure you have the correct wraps. And for drops, you can actually walk yourself down. So instead of just letting go and tumbling end over end, you can actually slowly walk yourself down to make sure you end in the right position. And then at the end, it's just faith.
Well, and Felicia, help us understand this as well, because, you know, watching an aerial artist, of course, it's very exciting. And there's, I realize you guys have adrenaline, but we have adrenaline just watching you do these tricks as well. When you bring people who are new to it into a studio, is safety a big question?
Oh, safety's huge. Safety's hands down the number one thing first. And it takes really good coaches with a lot of years of training and experience is going to be where it starts. And then having proper safety equipment is the next one. Yeah. So making sure you have soft floors, crash mats, spotters, proper spotting, making sure that everything is done right, that your students know how to tell when something is wrong on their body rather than just finding out by hitting the ground.
And nobody starts with drops. That's a more advanced level thing. You'll start with things that are on the ground primarily. Like we do foot knots and things like that on fabric first. And those you can stand on the ground and do it on your foot. Hip keys you can start laying on the ground and wrapping it around you. Just kind of like when you're first learning how to do wraps for drops, you can stand on the ground and wrap it around you. It's fairly high level to start doing the drops that Joyce was describing.
Yep.
Now, you guys get hired to go and do these performances in different places. How do you take an apparatus that will allow you to hook up your silks or whatever else you're using for the aerial arts safely with you?
That is always a big question because that's something that's in our contract is if you tell us that there's a safe place to put up our equipment and there's not, we're not performing. But oftentimes I'll bring my portable aerial rig, even if they say that there's some place to hang from, just in case, because I know my portable aerial rig inside and out. I know how to set it up. I know how much space it will take up. I know it will hold.
Well, describe a portable aerial rig for us.
They come in a couple of different ways. My new one, and I'm really excited about my new one because it's super shiny and it's got 4 points. It's like
a quad prod.
A quad, yeah. So it goes up 4 legs up to about 25 feet, and then there's a bar across the top, and you can hang multiple apparatus from the top of that. There's a little eye hook that you hook in with a carabiner.
It's about 300 pounds of steel, and they're crafted by a professional circus artist, actually, who got into making these, so they're good.
Yeah.
You can definitely trust it. Well, and Joyce, tell us about the kind of... You were talking about getting certified, completing your certification in pole instruction. What kind of certification process do you have to go through to be an instructor in aerial?
It depends on the state and it depends on what type of certification you want. I went through regular certification and instructor certification. So that will take you about a year and a half. And normally you have to travel to a different studio to get your instructor certification because it's a little bit more intensive. And I'm focusing more on the pole fitness rather than the pole dance aspect of it. So it took me about a year and a half to get my instructor certification.
Well, and you call yourself an aerial trickster, whereas Felicia calls herself an aerial artist. So let's draw a distinction. What do you think the distinction is, Joyce?
I focus more on the tricks. So I don't put a full routine together unless I'm going to be presenting it somewhere. So I will teach separate tricks during my class. And classes normally start out level 1 and then go up to level 6. So I will start you off at the ground with your basic foot locks and arm locks and then inversions and spins if you're on the pole. And then you move up from there. But I would say it would take you about 2-3 weeks to move up a level, and then it just increases from there because the tricks get more difficult. But normally I just teach you different moves and spins, and then transitions get in between them. I don't focus on the routine unless I'm actually going to present it.
Okay, so not choreography, many times when you see an aerial artist, it's as if they're dancing in the air. That's not your approach.
Correct.
That's what you're saying. And Felicia, do you have anything to add to that? I mean, how would you define an aerial artist?
Very similar, actually. My aerial routines are consisted of, a string of tricks put together. So I do a lot of those tricks and flips and drops. I just string them all together into a fluid routine. I like to storytell through a lot of the way I perform. I really try to find a character. I try to find a piece that moves to me, and I dance through it. stringing those tricks together. And it's really personal for me. But we have classes, you know, we teach all different ways. So we have choreography classes that string them together. We have trick-only classes. We have strength-only classes. So, and then, of course, the technical skill-based ones where you're learning all of the safe locks and moves and hip holds. So there's something for everybody, and I think everybody finds a little piece in it. I think everybody has a little bit of the artist in them. They have a little bit of the, you know, wanting that fitness drive. They have a little bit of wanting to express themselves, and they all have that little bit of a – everybody who does circus has a little bit of that rush, that thrill that they're trying to get that Joyce was talking about earlier, that adrenaline. So I think you can find a little bit of all of it in everybody who does this.
And we actually have, like, a student showcase coming up. My – God, the students just blow me away when we have our showcases.
They're incredible.
They, like, we've taught them all these moves, and then they put them together in a way that I just never thought that it would happen. They pick their music, they have makeup and costumes, and then do you have the date for our next student showcase? It's coming up.
It is coming up. It's March 26th at the Des Moines Social Club.
All right. And so what will that be like? Obviously, it surprises even you guys. But
oh, yeah.
what kinds of things will people see if they want to come and watch?
You're going to see our students who have been doing this for a couple months doing some very, you know, low to the ground skills, to the ones who have been doing this for a couple years with us, who are really going to the top of the fabric and tumbling down or getting on the lyre and spinning, and all different styles. That's what's most exciting.
Yeah.
Our last one, we had people doing things from musical theater, very dramatic theatrical ones, to very dark, creepy Halloween ones, to very, very bubbly, flowy, beautiful ones. So a little bit of everything. Everybody's got their own style.
Yeah, and it's very supportive, too. Like, it's friends and family, and they were all so nervous backstage. But I'm like, this is just to show off to all your friends and family. Look what I can do.
Well, and Joyce, you mentioned as your students go up a level, how long that might take. Is that coming once a week, or how often do people come into your studio?
I've got classes four times a week, and normally my regulars are there probably 2 to 3 classes a week, but I find I stay for more than one class because I have back-to-back classes. So if you come to level one pole, they normally stay for level one silks just to get the experience. And I also have a couple open aerial classes on Saturday, which is you can just come in and play around on any apparatus. So if there's any move you want to learn, or if there's any short routine you want to put together, then you come in and work on it during that time.
Now, who do you attract to your classes? Give me kind of a stereotypical student.
Every different type of person. I find I'm attracting a lot of gym goers because our studio is located in the same building as an Anytime Fitness. So people will just walk by our windows on the way to the gym and look in and see me just hanging from the ceiling. They'll stop, stare, and like take a picture of it. And then I've got our schedule and little description posted in each window so they can come up and check out what our classes are about. But I find it's a lot of people who are going to the gym who just stop, look in and are curious, and then come in and try it out, and they end up absolutely loving it.
Do you find what's the breakdown between women and men who come to your classes?
It's a lot more women than men. I've had about, I want to say, 5 or 6 male students. But men do surprisingly well on all the apparatuses because they have more upper body strength and more core strength. So they can actually just muscle their way into moves that take a lot of finesse for females.
All right. Well, and a higher center of gravity, which makes building that kind of strength easier if anybody's ever tried to do pull-ups.
Yeah.
Well, how about you guys? Give me a stereotypical student for the Iowa Circus Academy.
It's pretty similar. We definitely have a higher ratio of women to men, hands down. We have quite a few men. I'd say we have over a dozen pretty regular comers that are men.
Sometimes 3-4 days a week. And some of them just started that regiment this year. They're like, yeah, new year, I'm going to do so many classes. And now, like, we're a couple weeks in, and they're like, I am so sore.
Everybody's hurting right now.
But it's normally, you know, that I wanted to go do something fun and adventurous and do something active and be part of this community and just have a feel-good time while doing something really fun and active. And that's the kind of person that normally comes one-star classes.
And give me an idea of the age range of people.
Oh, big range.
Big range. On average, I would say it's 30s. Late yeah. 20s, early to mid-30s.
But we've had anywhere from, what, 14 to 66?
Yeah. Yep. We have students well into our 60s in our classes, just doing an incredible job.
Wow. Here's a question from Lena in Waukee. She says, I used to live in Delaware, and there was a traveling circus camp for kids.
The one in Circus Smirkus. I used to work for them.
All right. She says, the one in our town was hosted by the local YMCA. The kids would train for a week and then put on a performance. Do you host anything like this, or do you have plans for a summer camp program? Yep.
Yeah. I actually we have summer camps that go on as well as the after-school programs, and it's very similar. The kids will come for a week. They'll learn all kinds of different circus arts, from the acrobatics to the juggling to the hula hooping to poi to Diablo to aerial arts to rolling around in a giant human-sized hamster ball. And then at the end of the week, we put on a show for the parents. We do face painting. They do balloon animals. It is a really, really good time for the kids, and it's memories that they'll have forever. And there's one in West Des Moines that's going to be from the 6th of June to the 10th of June. There's one at the Des Moines Social Club that's going to be from the 13th of June to the 17th. And then in Johnston from the 20th to the 24th.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. With me this hour, circus artists Felicia Coe and Laura Ernst are the founders of the Iowa Circus Academy. Joyous Vario Fisher is an aerial trickster, and she owns Elevate Vertical Fitness in Cedar Rapids. And you can join the conversation as well. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or send us an email. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about different circus arts that are offered in Iowa, different people who are performing in circus arts in Iowa. With me, Felicia Coe. She's an aerial artist known as the Iowa Fly Girl. She's also one of the founders of the Iowa Circus Academy. Laura Ernst is a circus performer, and she's the other founder of the Iowa Circus Academy. Joyous Vario Fisher is here. She's an aerial trickster who owns Elevate Vertical Fitness in Cedar Rapids, and we're going to spend a little bit of time now talking about acro yoga. And with us on the phone is Tiffany Thomas. She is an acro yoga instructor at Power Life Yoga in Des Moines. Hello, Tiffany.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here. And
happy to be.
All right, I can say acro yoga, but for a lot of us, that doesn't mean very much. What is acro yoga?
Acro yoga is a mix of partner acrobatics, Thai massage or therapeutic flying, and yoga.
Okay, and what does that look like? Does that look like anything I've seen before?
Yeah, so it includes, you may see it around, it includes a base, a flyer, and a spotter. So you always have three. The base is the individual on the ground, and then we have a flyer that's elevated off the ground by the base, and a spotter who has an objective view of both partners, whose entire focus is on making sure that the flyer is safe.
All right. And that's so it kind of looks like what I did with my kids when they were littler, where I laid on the floor and held
like
them up
airplane.
In the air. All right.
Completely.
And what kinds of things can you do with acro yoga?
Mostly, I mean, you can do a lot with your body, a lot of strength building, a lot of different muscles are used within acro yoga, but most of what acro is about the connection that you build, trust within your body, trust within a community, and it's with that trust that you get to do a lot of these fun, amazing things that can look really amazing and flashy, just through trusting with a partner.
How did you get involved in it?
I got involved with it through yoga. I was doing a lot of yoga. I still do a lot of yoga. And I saw a picture of a practitioner, Brent Aronson, that I really admired doing acro yoga. And I'm like, that looks beautiful. Because when you look at it, you're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I could never do that. And I asked to play with him in the lobby of Power Life one time. And from as soon as I had my first flight, I was like, I not only want to do this, I want to teach this. This is something really special. And that started my journey.
What did you have to go through to get a certification to be able to teach this?
To get a certification to teach acro, you have to have your 200-hour yoga teaching certificate. And then within acro yoga, the program, they have three different 5-day 5-day immersions that you go to learn about the therapeutic side, the Thai massage and the therapeutic flying, the more acrobatic side, and then a mix of both. So you really learn the foundations. And then from there on, it's a lot of hours going to different classes and learning from different teachers before you can go. It totals to about 500 hours.
Okay. Now,
before you can go to the training.
Now, you mentioned the connection and building muscles. I mean, a lot of us have done yoga and kind of know what that does for our bodies as far as the balance and flexibility and strength building as well, but also the meditation aspect of it. What's different about acro yoga from other kinds of yoga practices?
I think what's mostly different about acro yoga is within your yoga practice, you find this space to go within yourself, and it becomes this practice within the four corners of your mat. And with acro yoga, it's so much more about community and communication and how you work with others and learning different ways to work with and play with others and being sensitive to touch and really communication. And that's the big difference. It's the reward of acro yoga is not necessarily even the strength. That just happens naturally through the practice, but it's the connections that are made with people
and you may
never meet.
I mean, people aren't necessarily coming with a partner that they already trust. People are connecting with other people.
Yes. Yes. Most of the people that walk into an acro yoga class do not come with a partner, and we pair people up in groups of three or four so that we always have a spotter, and you get to know names really fast. You learn to trust really fast. You learn to support others, and you allow yourself to be supported as well really quickly.
And do you actually try to, if people do come in with someone that they know, do you split people up? Is this part of the process?
Sure do, yeah. So the rule within our class is if you come with someone, we're happy to place you with them in the beginning so you can start off with that comfort. And then you get to know other people. And it's really how you learn is by working with other people, different body types, different strengths, and then you become better. And at the end of class, we always put them back together because there's just a comfort there. And then you have the success when you go home and play.
Now, who is attracted to this? I asked for stereotypical students from everybody else. Who comes into an acro yoga class?
You know, it's really surprising the different people that come in. On New Year's Day, we had a woman that was significantly older than we normally have in our classes. And she said, I just want to try something new and outside of my comfort zone. And she did. She rocked it. She was really amazing. We have kids who are as young as 12 that are pretty consistent. We have one gal that started at 12. She's almost 14 now, and she comes pretty consistently. So a pretty wide range of ages. Lots of old cheerleaders. They look at acro or, you know, retired cheerleaders. I don't know how you say that, but they come. You know, they like the idea of flying again.
And are there people who, I mean, obviously a lot of people in the class are bigger than other people. If you had a 12-year-old come in, you're not going to put an adult on top of a 12-year-old as a base. But, I mean, is that frustrating for some people, people who can only be a base or can only be the flyer?
No. No, we work with it. So the gal that's 12 and now 14, she works in and she's been building strength to the smaller women. I can base my partner. I'm like 100 pounds. He's probably 150 and I can base a lot bigger men now because you over time you're building these different muscles and the different strengths to be able to challenge yourself. But we definitely set you up in an area where you can be successful in the beginning and definitely with people smaller than your own body or close to your size.
Well, and Tiffany, you went through a very long process to get certified as an instructor. Do you find that other people in Iowa are getting excited about this and perhaps pursuing certification as well?
Yeah. My co-teacher, my acro partner, Brent Aronson, he will be doing his certification training this year. So he'll be a certified teacher. We have two students in our class who are working their way as well towards being teachers, and it is slowly building, and we're really happy about that.
All right. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Tiffany Thomas is an acro yoga instructor at Power Life Yoga in Des Moines. With me is Felicia Koh. and Laura Ernst. They are the founders of the Iowa Circus Academy. Joy Asferio Fisher is the owner of Elevate Vertical Fitness in Cedar Rapids. And, you know, I was just thinking about Tiffany talking about trying something new and pushing herself. You've all kind of talked about how that's how you got involved in different aspects mm-hmm. of these circus arts. I mean, Felicia, you've been doing aerial arts for quite some time now. What new things do you find yourself pushing into?
Actually, acro yoga is a big one of them. Tiffany and Brent are two of my coaches in acro yoga, and that's been a huge push for me in the last 2 years. It uses muscles very opposite in the way that you use an aerial, so it's benefited my aerial practice. My aerial practice has benefited my acro practice, and now I have an act with a partner that we utilize our training in acro yoga, acrobatics, and aerial, and do this big show that has all of those things involved. And it's fun. It's fun to kind of switch it up and do some different things and try new stuff and use your body in ways that you're not used to.
Well, Laura, how about you? You do a little bit of everything.
Yeah. I'm a little bit, I can't stop moving, and so I'm always like, okay, I got to do this. And I have that focus and staying in something. I mean, I've been doing aerial for like 10 years now, and aerial fabric was one of my favorite things forever. It's one of the more difficult ones because unlike the hammock or the lira, the aerial hoop, you can't really sit in it. You have to use your strength to hold yourself up for the entire routine. It's pretty intense. But I got into doing lira, and I'm like, oh, well, my cerebral stuff is crossing over because I'm not getting dizzy. I can spin. My strength from doing silks is coming over. And so it really helps to cross-train everything, and it gives you a new experience and a new insight, a new point of view, if you will.
How about you, Joyous? I mean, where do you see yourself going? What attracts you at this point?
I'm hoping to perform more. I'm hoping to be able to put together some new routines for both me and my students. And I'm also looking to do more double shows on pole, silks, and lira. So I'm also working on acro yoga, ironically. And we're actually trying to start some acro jams at my studio, probably Thursdays or Saturdays.
All right. And when you talk about partner work, you have a partner that you perform with?
Yes, the co-owner of Elevate. I work with him. He's mostly my base. And then I have two friends that I base for pole, silks, and lira. So basically, I'm holding on and dangling them.
Now, there's obviously, I mentioned the adrenaline rush earlier. There has to be adrenaline when you're on the silks. And you actually don't perform with a mat or don't practice with a mat underneath you. Why on earth is that?
I find that fear of the floor keeps me up on the apparatus. I normally don't go very high. Our ceilings are only 14 foot at our studio, and I find that's enough to catch me. But normally with my students, I will put mats under them, especially if they're doing something new or doing inversions on the pole or the silks.
Okay. Have you ever fallen?
I've slipped. I've never hit the ground.
How about you, Felicia and Laura? Do you guys perform or do you practice with mats, or are you also just depending on the fear of the floor?
Mats are a huge part of our practice. We require it for
especially
all of
especially on new moves.
Yep, especially on any new move or anything. Most of the time, we don't perform with mats under us, so we practice without. But we don't do anything new. We don't run any new acts, new tricks without a mat. Our students are required to have them under at all times. Any point that their body weight is on the apparatus, they have to have a mat under them.
Yeah, and I've done my routine so many times for aerial that, like, I could do it in my sleep blindfolded. So at that point, I feel comfortable taking the mat out from underneath. But until you get to that point, safety.
So you guys have all talked about how much fun this is, this sense of play. Is that the biggest part of this? Is this just because it feels like playing?
That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
There's an end to it. So anything else that I've tried, I don't see an end goal that makes me excited. Whereas aerial, I see a trick or a flow or a sequence or a routine, and there's this end, and it's just incredibly gratifying to work something over and over. And then when you finally get it, it's this huge point of pride and joy. And you work so
jumping
hard
up and down and dancing,
and squealing.
So it's having that big goal to push for.
Yeah.
And what about you, Joyous?
Yeah, I find with Ariel that you can actually show off what you've done. So if you've worked really, really hard on a trick or a drop, then you can show it off to people and they can actually see what you're working for. Whereas regular fitness, working out, basically you can say, I can lift 200 pounds. I like the fact that I can, like, go upside down, do the splits. It's a little cooler.
So you can actually get a gasp out of someone as opposed to, all right. So so there is, even with the fitness part, for you, there is a performance element.
Yes.
Wanting people to see it. And I have to imagine that with most of this, there's a big performance element. Laura?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, that's what got me into it in the first place. When I, even though I really didn't do very well in my junior high school play, it still was enough for me to be like, this is cool doing this in front of people. I want to do more of this.
So even if you failed, it was still exciting to do it in front of people?
And I don't know. Maybe that was just like the little junior high kid in me that was like, oh, well, next time I won't drop it on the hollow wooden stage that reverberates through the entire auditorium and it'll be better.
But, yeah, having that outlet is a big part of what we've been striving for. So we have shows, you know, the Misfit Cabaret is a variety show that we do quarterly that showcases anywhere from amateurs to professionals and all different skill types so that they have a stage in Des Moines where they can show off all the stuff that they've learned. We just haven't had that in the past.
Yeah. Circus has really exploded in Des Moines. I mean, we've got a really cool new show coming up this spring, the Cirque Bon Appetit. It's like a several course meal, and in between all the courses, you're going to have circus acts of every kind. So there's going to be aerial bartenders, stilt walking servers. It's amazing.
It's going to be a huge show. Yep, April 29th at the Des Moines Social Club Come and Go Theater.
All right, and you guys have also been working with Cirque Wonderland. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Yep, Cirque Wonderland is a circus variety entertainment company, and so we have done work with the Metro Art Alliance and the Art Center, public schools, weddings, child serve, all kinds of different organizations, and provided the entertainment for their events, their fundraisers, their shows.
It really gives it that big wow factor. It takes it like from being a cool event to being, whoa, look at that. There's people hanging from the ceiling.
And inside of hamster balls and juggling glowing lit up balls and stilts, all kinds of stuff.
Now, is there something that's still out there for you guys? I mean, you have your hands in so many different things and teaching.
There's
and
always
performing.
More.
What is it? Do you have something in mind?
Well, we're Cirque Bon Appetit is our newest venture. We're still doing Misfit Cabaret. We're just hitting our second year, having our big second year anniversary show March 12th in Des Moines. Ariel Expo, it'll be our third one.
Oh, that's going to be, I'm so excited about
that. It's a huge event. We bring aerialists and acrobatics from all over the country to teach and perform.
That's a really good one for you. Like, if you're just in Des Moines and you just want to see this, and you can both do workshops, you can see shows if you want to be like, I'll keep my feet on the ground, thank you. Or you can do all of those things, and it's just a smorgasbord of seeing everything related to aerial. I think there's also pole and acro yoga and all that stuff, too.
Yep.
Brent and Tiffany often teach a workshop there, don't they?
They performed at it last year. Yeah, they did a great job.
All right. And you already mentioned your circus showcase coming up March 26th. So you guys have a lot going on. And are you filling the auditoriums? Are people?
Oh, definitely.
There's a lot of demand for this.
This is popular.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't it be? It's amazing.
Right. Well, thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Felicia Coe is an aerial artist known as the Iowa Fly Girl. Laura Ernst is a circus performer. Together, they have founded the Iowa Circus Academy and clearly are doing a great many things. And Joyous Vario Fisher is an aerial trickster. She owns Elevate Vertical Fitness in Cedar Rapids. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.